Thank you. Go to Luke chapter 11. Kelly's coming tonight to sing for us. We'll enjoy that as she comes. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10. We're going to be continuing a little bit, a few thoughts on the subject in his presence in Luke chapter 11 tonight. God bless you. Appreciate that, and well sung, and so true. I want to speak to you tonight for a little bit on the subject, persevering in His presence. Persevering in His presence. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus speaking here, and these verses, of course, repeated in Matthew 7. But a story is told with these verses in Luke 11 that is omitted in Matthew 7. So that's where we come to this passage tonight. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Persevering in His presence. Dear Father, please help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to become the people of prayer that You'd like for us to be, that, Lord, can be blessed and helped by Your great omnipotence. By Your great omniscience, Lord, I thank You for what You do for us as a means of common grace. Just so many blessings that come our way because You're good. And then, Lord, thank You for the potential that we have in Your presence for even greater help. Because, Lord, we certainly need that as well. Help me tonight for these few moments and these thoughts in Jesus' name and amen. Last week we studied the verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace to get the help that we need. Basically, we said, thank God it's not a throne of justice. Thank God it is a throne of grace. And we can come boldly to that throne because we are accepted in the Beloved. And hope you spend a little time there this week, either driving at home behind the sink as you wash dishes, or in the quietness of your closet or bedroom, or someplace where you talk to the Lord and moved into His presence and went to that throne of grace to get the help that you needed. Now, once we come before God in His presence, we have the opportunity to ask Him for the things that we need. Dr. John Rice, who lived, of course, years ago, went to heaven, I think, back in 1981. I had the wonderful privilege of hearing him toward the very end of his ministry. My, what an impact he made on many, many lives, mine included. He made famous the saying, prayer is asking. He made famous that little statement, prayer is asking. He wrote a book entitled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. Now, it was Brother Rice's belief that prayer in its basic form is asking. Now, there are other forms of prayer that make up all the prayer opportunities that we have as God's children. You've got supplication, you've got worship, you've got intercession, you've got the giving of thanks, you've got praise. You've got all these forms of prayer that make up the big prayer opportunity that we have. But it was Dr. Rice's belief, and I believe he's right, I mean, it was his belief from the Bible, that the basic form of prayer is asking. That's the bottom, if you will, of prayer 101. Okay, elementary prayer is asking. Now, if the basic form of prayer is asking, that was his opinion and belief, then Dr. Rice also believed that the basic answer to prayer is receiving. If prayer is asking, then the answer to prayer is receiving. That's why he wrote the book Prayer, Asking and Receiving. Prayer is asking, the answer to prayer is receiving. Now, this is basically what Jesus taught in verses 9 and 10. He said here, in fact, that if you look at the words that he used, you can find, if you use them as, what do they call that, an acrostic? It spells the word ask. Look what he said in verse number 9. And I say unto you, ask. That's A. And it shall be given you. Seek. Take the first letter. That's S. And ye shall find. Knock. That's a K. And it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock. An acrostic for the word ask. Now, if prayer in its basic form is asking, then the answer to prayer is receiving. He said in verse number 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, this is what Jesus taught us in these verses. Prayer is asking, the answer to prayer is receiving. That's a great promise for us, isn't it? And I believe that, friend. I believe that with all my heart. Let me say this, and this is not what the lesson is on. There are hindrances to receiving. Now, my lesson's not on that tonight, but if we're praying, if we're asking, and we're not receiving, the problem is not with God. The problem is not with His promise. The problem is with us. Okay? It may be that we have to. That's part of what I'll talk about tonight. It may be that God is choosing to make us persevere in prayer for a specific purpose. But if the basic form of prayer is asking, The basic answer to prayer is receiving, and that's what Jesus taught in these verses. If you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be opened unto you. So prayer is asking and receiving. A great promise. Now, you see the first two words, the first few words of verse number 9 here, verse 5 words, Jesus said, and I say unto you. That first word, and. That's one of those words, again, conjunction. That's a conjunction. So it's joining the promises in verses 9 and 10 with what has come before it. And I have written in the margin of my Bible, this is not the Bible I study from at home, this is the Bible I keep here at church to preach from. And I didn't see this until I turned to this text and opened it a little while ago. And I wrote beside my Bible, by verse number 9, that 9 and 10 are based on the story that is given in verses 5 through 8. So the promise of asking and receiving is based on the story that Jesus told in verses 5 through 8. Because the first word of verse number 9 joins the thoughts in verses 9 and 10 to the previous verses, verses 5 through 8. So I went to verses 5 through 8. I'll give you a couple things we can learn from verses 5 through 8 that are joined to the promise in verse 9 and 10, that if we ask, we receive, if we'll seek, we'll find, and if we knock, the door will be opened unto us. Ask, seek, and knock. Prayer is asking, the answer to prayer is receiving. All right? A couple of thoughts for us. First of all, this promise pertained to an unexpected need. This promise pertained to an unexpected need. Look at verse number 5. And he said unto them, Jesus is teaching, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So you get the story here. This man goes at midnight to a friend of his and he asks for 3 loaves of bread. And here's why. He says in verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Here was an unexpected need. The man came to his friend because he wanted some food. But the food was necessary because of an unexpected guest. This was something the man had not planned for. It was out of the ordinary. It was more than normal. It was more than the normal budget could stand. The man's on a tight budget. He's living week to week. And all of a sudden now he's at unexpected need. What are you going to do with those unexpected things? This is what this man did. Unexpected need. And can I say to you something else? It also came at an unexpected time. How many friends drop in at midnight? And if they do, they don't stay friends very often. Amen. Now, I guess that's the kind of people that would drop in at midnight. You wouldn't have a person that wasn't a friend, but I guess you would invite a friend over. Yeah, but this guy comes by his house at midnight or close to it. So he's got an unexpected need at the most inconvenient time. You got an unusual situation. It came in an unusual time. This was an extra. What is this man going to do? Now, folks, can I say to us tonight, all throughout life, there will be unusual and unexpected situations that come along at the most inconvenient of times. Most of us have a budget that can handle the normal. But a lot of people in this day and age are living on that kind of budget. You can live on what's normal off the budget, but what about those things that are unexpected, unplanned, and certainly inconvenient? Are we left on our own? No, we have a promise. There is a promise for those situations. Now, I believe this man's unusual need was not the result of negligence or omission. It came to him legitimately. This man dropped in on him and his cupboards at the moment weren't prepared. And so he said, what am I going to do here? And I'll say that if we are negligent or careless with our finances and get into a mess because of that, we may not have a claim on this promise. I believe you need to be careful. You need to be prudent. I think you need, first of all, to obey God and honor God by giving Him the first fruits of all your increase. I think when you don't do that, you're digging yourself a deep hole. Folks, you don't want to start down that spiral. You don't want to do that. But if you're honoring God and you're doing right financially by the Lord and you're not negligent, you're not careless with your finances, you're trying to be prudent, and then you got an unexpected situation, it's not the result of negligence, then we can, what did this man do? He took it to his friend, the friend in verse number 5, which of you shall have a friend that you go to at midnight. That friend is a picture of God the Father, okay? So here's an unexpected need at an unusual time, an inconvenient time. And here he goes to his friend to help him with this unusual situation. Now, unless you are bringing in an unusually large amount of money, there will always be unexpected needs that arise. You know, there are some people that have a sufficient income, not only to meet the needs from week to week, but maybe some to spare. But for those who do not, there is a promise of provision. And I want to say tonight that I believe this could range from needs that come up within your family, unexpected. You're unplanned for, can come up in your family, maybe for your spouse, your vehicles, your clothes, and other things as well. Look, folks, if a man could get help for his friend, then surely a man could get help for his family. A mother could get help for her children. If a man could go to his friend and get help, go to this friend and get help for a friend of his, then surely we can do the same thing for our families. And there will be times in life when the needs are more pressing because they're unplanned, the timing of those needs is so inconvenient. Think about that. Think, how many times have you had a rather large need arise and you thought to yourself, what a terrible time for this to happen. Okay? What a terrible time. Well, remember this, it did not take God by surprise. Okay? And if God brings it into our life, He doesn't mean to overwhelm us with it. You heard Brother Hedger pray tonight. There's a promise there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that God will never put anything on us that's more than we can bear. So when it comes into our life, we don't have to emotionally crash. We don't have to go off in a tirade, lose our temper, devolve into chaos within our family and all this carrying on. We have a promise here. Here was a man who had an unplanned need. It caught him by surprise. It was at a very inconvenient time. It was midnight, but there was a friend who supplied that need, a friend he could go to at a very crucial time. And I want to tell you something, friend. I believe if we will seek God and His cause and put Him first, our common needs will be met. He promised us that in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the things He was talking about was food and shelter and drink and provisions. I believe the common needs will be met if we just honor God and use some prudence and do right and use some care. And then for those things that shove us over the edge, if you will, for those things that are unplanned and surprise and inconvenient, we have a friend we can go to at a most crucial time to help us with those needs. I believe that with all my heart. Verse 9 and 10 is tied to this story. Do you see that? The first word in verse 9 says, and. So he's telling them, here's a man who had an unexpected need at an inconvenient time, and he had a friend that he could go to. And I say unto you, if you ask, you receive. You seek, you find. You knock, and it'll be open. So that means we can do the same thing. Unexpected needs, inconvenient time, God's people have a resource. Amen. We are a blessed folk. Amen. So this promise was for an unexpected need. Let me say number two tonight, and this is all I have to say, two thoughts on this thing. This promise is for a completely dependent person. It's for an unexpected need and for a completely dependent person. So he says to him in verse number six, he goes to this friend of his. And verse number seven, he says this, and from within shall answer and say, so this friend is at the house. And the fellow comes at midnight, knocks on the door and says, hey, a friend came to my house. I have nothing to set before him. Can you give me three loaves of bread? So here's his friend's response. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Let me break this down. This is not new territory for many of you and most of you in this room tonight. Jesus was not teaching here that God sleeps and has to be awakened. Okay? Jesus is not teaching here that God gets preoccupied with other people or that he's hard to win as a friend. Jesus is simply teaching that there are some things that we're going to have to persevere in prayer to receive. Some things we're not going to get when we ask one time and quit. There are things that will require us to ask and to seek and to knock. This perseverance is called importunity. That's a very interesting word, importunity. You know what it means? It means unashamedness. Unashamedness. Did you ever feel like you were asking for something and you asked a second time and you asked a third time and you said, you know what? I'm done because I'm starting to feel embarrassed. Did your kids ever ask for something of their grandparents or of other, you know, did your kids ever ask for, did you ever go to somebody's house and, you know, and they ask, can I have a piece of candy? It's like that little boy down in Fort Worth, Texas that time when I was preaching for Brother Mickey Hollers years ago, and I went to the restroom and washed my hands before church began. I was standing there in the middle of the bathroom floor after I'd washed my hands. I was digging a peppermint out of my pocket, and I had opened it. I was opening it. Nothing louder in church than a person opening a peppermint. There's no way to hide it, folks. Amen. You just can't do it. Get you some of those little Listerine things and put them in there. But those peppermint. I'm standing there in the bathroom, and this little guy runs in. He's up to my knees. He's about as tall as he is. He looks straight up at me and says, "Can I have one of those?" You know what that's called? That's called unashamedness. He's not inhibited. He's not timid. "Can I have one?" I said, "Look down." I said, "You better go ask your mother." And without hesitation, little kids, she said yes. That was hilarious. I mean, so what'd you do? I gave him a peppermint, man. I'm telling you, any kid with that much savvy, you got to give him a peppermint. She said yes. Oh, goodness. But did you ever take your child somewhere? It wasn't a relative's house. It said, "Can I have that? Can I have?" And you wanted to go, "Shh. Stop it." And you got him in the car. "Don't you ever ask for anything again." Right? Sure. You bet. Well, this is what this is. There's no timidity here. It's just ask and ask. And did you ever have a friend or have somebody you said to your spouse, "Man, that person knows no shame." They just ask and ask and ask and ask and keep talking and keep talking and keep talking. And you think to themselves, you think to yourself, you know, after a while, you think they'd be quiet. You think they'd get embarrassed. They're talking so much, but they just. That's what he's talking about here. Unashamed. Asking, 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 asking. They never turn red. They never feel timid. They're never inhibited. They just ask and ask and ask. And that's what he's saying here. He's talking about importunity. And let me say this, friend. Importunity succeeds where friendship fails. Do you understand that the man went to the kitchen and got the loaves of bread and gave them to the man who was asking? But he didn't do that because he was his friend. That's not why he got the bread. He did not get the bread because there was a friend relationship. He got the bread because he got weary of hearing him ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. So importunity succeeds where friendship fails. You can get what you need based on importunity before friendship. Now, I don't understand how all this works in the economy of God, but this is exactly, I mean, the Lord took pains to point out in verse number 8, the man did not get what he wanted because of a friend relationship. The man got what he wanted because he wouldn't quit asking. That's Jesus taught it. At this point in the story, friendship did not matter. This man got what he needed because he kept on asking until he received it. Let me ask you a question. If this method worked with a man whose friendship failed him, how much more will it work with our God who is a faithful friend? Our friendship doesn't fail with God. And so it will work for it. We just have to. We never find God asleep. We never find God preoccupied with others to the point that where he cannot help us. You know, and that's really in these last several weeks. I have people say, "I'm doing good. The Lord's been good to me. Help me." I'm gonna tell you what I've been burdened about. I can't get to help. I can't get to help some of the people I need to help. Because I'm preoccupied with other things. And that burdens me. When I can't get to the hospital, when I can't do this, when I can't go, and I'm trying to call people in the spare moments that I have between here and home and other, trying to touch base with people who just need to hear from their pastor. And if I have been so preoccupied that I could not call you back or get to you, I apologize. You never find God like that. Ever. And I got a church this size to take care of. God's watching over the whole world. He's never preoccupied for any of us. Never. So I can go to Him. He's not preoccupied. He's not asleep. I don't have to wake Him up. Therefore, if I will ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking, I can get what I need. This man got what he needed because of his importunity, not because of his friendship. I've got a faithful God whose friendship never with me never fails. If I'll just keep on asking and persevere in His presence, I can get what I need. You know, we've all heard the story about the man who was digging for oil, and he spent several $1,000s to dig, and he didn't find oil. He borrowed some more money. He dug deeper. He borrowed money a third time, and he dug deeper, and he still didn't hit oil. And he finally said, "That's it." And he pulled his drill up out of the ground, and he left and went home and counted his losses. And another investor came right behind him, dropped the drill in the same hole he was in, drilled 18 inches, and hit the biggest reserve that had been found to that day. He stopped 18 inches short. Just 18 inches short. And that's how we are with God sometimes. We just stop short. You say, you know, God, this is His choice, friend. I'm not sure I have all the answers to the why. God chooses to make us persevere in prayer. This is God's choice. And you know what? Because it's God's choice, it's right and it's good. And it's best. I just need to get in God's program here. Well, I don't understand why God makes me ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and doesn't just give it to me. If He's going to give it to me, you know, kind of like the handicap thing over here. You know. If God's going to give it to me, why didn't He give it to me just the first time I ask? I understand that. You know what God may be looking for? God may be waiting until you and I come to the place of complete dependence. Let me ask you a question. Who else is this man going to go to? You reckon that's why he stayed there? You reckon if there had been anybody else down the street, anybody else across town he could have gone to, he would have said, "Hey, I'm not going to bother this guy. Man, his kids are asleep. He's in bed. The house is lights out." But that's just it. He had nowhere else to go. He didn't have anybody else across town. He didn't have another friend down the street. He was completely dependent. Hey, buddy, it's you or my friends going hungry. And I'm not going to go home and face my hungry friends, so guess what? I'm not leaving. Can you get me some bread? Hey, can you get me some bread? Hey, whatever he did. But he was completely dependent. He didn't go anywhere else. That's what happened to the man in the story. Verses 9 and 10 are tied to verses 5 through 8. He had absolutely nowhere else to turn. So he just kept on asking. We ask once. You know what we do? We go to God with we got an unexpected need at an inconvenient time, and we get on our knees and say, "Okay, Lord, this one is more than I have money for. This one is more than my budget will." But while we're talking to God, we're already formulating plan B. Well, if God doesn't come through, I'll call this, and I can do this, and I can... Well, if we're formulating plan B, why does God need to answer? If we have option A, you know, 1, 2, 3, oh, dear Lord, here I am. Now, I got to have this. Please help me with it, Lord. You knew I was going to have this need, so please meet it. I pray, dear God, that you please meet this need in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. And I'm not saying exhaust all the opportunities. But I am saying sometimes the answer delays because we're not completely dependent upon God. He is one of our options. This man had no other options. None. I'm not leaving until I get it. We ask once. If the answer does not come now, we go looking for the answer some other way. We are somewhat dependent on God, but not completely. So you know what God does? He allows the answer to be held up until we get to the place where we get on our knees and say, "Lord, I have nothing else. No one else. You're it." You say, "Pastor, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do facing this situation I'm facing. I don't know what else to do but just to ask God to turn this situation around. That's the only recourse I have." You know what I say? Good. Because that's when He comes through. When you get to the place where it's God, it's you and nothing else. You and no one else. That's when God will begin to work. Unexpected situations do not have to throw us in turmoil, friend. They do not have to put us into chaos. They don't have to drive us to the to the prescription bottle. They do not have to do that. Unexpected situations. The Lord gave us a promise here in verses 9 and 10. Ask, seek, knock. And here's the story that is tied to it. This man, with an unusual circumstance at an inconvenient time, had a friend he could go to. But when he went to that friend, he was completely dependent on him. And if you and I will do the same, you know what we'll find out? God will answer us. We'll get what we need. I went to that funeral yesterday for Mrs. Marriott. And it's a sad church. You can feel the spirit of sadness in the church, but not the spirit of defeat. A lot of tears. And I sat there between Hannah and Abby, and I just held their hands, and I cried almost the whole service. Because I watched my friend walk out of that side door, and I thought, Lord, how can you do this? How can he do this? How can he stand over a casket? And how can he try to be a comfort to a family knowing that in 3 days it's going to be his wife's casket? How? And I could not believe the job Brother Gomez did yesterday. Brother Hedger, it was unbelievable. They laughed a little bit, had some humor. Many tears. A comfort. It's like I was. Donna Griffith stopped by the secretary's office yesterday, and I was telling her, and I think Donna, you said something like, you know, Christian funerals are unusual because you come away from a Christian funeral stronger. Isn't that amazing? And you do. Your heart is broken, but man, your faith. And I'm telling you, that man stood there and he talked about Carol Marriott, and he talked to Stacy, and he talked to Sharon. In Austin, he talked to that family, and he talked to that church, and he talked about her life. He mentioned his wife one time. He said that somebody wrote on the internet. I don't know if there was a. I don't know how to do it. Some place you can write, I guess. And somebody wrote that when Mrs. Marriott got to heaven, one of the angels started showing her around. And of course, it takes a while for all the sights of heaven to be seen, so many sights, the Apostle Paul wouldn't even write about it. Brother Gomez is telling this at the very end of his message, and he said, the angel finally got through showing Mrs. Marriott around heaven, and then he said, now I have one more surprise for you. Turn around. And there was Mrs. Gomez. He said that, you know, and talked to that family. I marveled. I thought, my goodness. But you know what that was, friend? That was an unusual circumstance at a most inconvenient time. And I know Brother Gomez. I know he's been asking God for help. And I know there's no other resource. And when you and I get to the place where we are completely dependent on Him, there is no other option. I believe the promises. If we ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, we'll get what we need. We'll get what we need. In His presence, at the throne of grace, not a throne of justice. In His presence, persevering, completely dependent to get what we need. God, help us to do it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening tonight. Dear Spirit of the Lord, thank you so much for this great book, for all these truths. God, take what was said tonight and minister to our hearts. Lord, may we look forward to the time that we spend in your presence. Speak to us tonight. Thank you that you're our friend we can run to and get what we need. Help us to be dependent upon you completely. And persevere until the answer comes.